Welcome one, welcome all, to the Court of the Trashy Royals, where we assemble each week to reveal and revel in the tales of our betters behaving badly. My name is Stacy.
Hey, Alicia here, friends. Thank you for joining us for today's Naughty Nobles. If your Trashy Royals journey is beginning right now, please don't start here.
Don't start here. This is a part two.
Correct. This arc of Naughty Nobles started last week with part one of this tragedy of a love story between Elizabeth and Robert Dudley, Bessie and Puppy Boy. We left off in that story. The crown is now hers. What happens next? We're back for part two. Before we begin our tale today, we do have some huge love and shout-outs to give to our most recent Patreon supporters.
Thank you so much to Sasha M., Laura M., Rachel D., Val, Misty S., Debbie N., and Scarlett C. We appreciate your support, new and sustaining patrons. $2 a month gets you all episodes early and ad-free, plus a bonus or two as well. To find out more, check out patreon.com/trashyroyalspodcast.
With all that business done, let us anon to the business of part two of Elizabeth and Lester. Open November 1558. Mary the First has passed away. The Queen is dead. Long live the Queen. And this is glorious in our eyes. Elizabeth is at Hatfield House, naturally sitting under an ancient oak tree to receive the news that she is now Queen.
As one would.
Bless our Bessie. She's managed to stay alive until 25. She is now the Queen. She may be living large, but she has inherited 99 problems, at least. 999,000 problems. Things are not going great in jolly old England. First up, England is in the middle of a religious war with Mary's 100% Catholic reign that lasted 5 years with lots of burnings and 300 people executed during her five-year reign.
Yes, the burnings being burning people.
Not great.
Not great.
Before Mary, it was Eddie the Sixth, Jane Seymour's kid, and he was 180 degrees the other way, Protestant. So all of this religious war, again, created by dear old Papa of them all, Henry VIII, that's one problem. England is also bankrupt. That's problem number two. And England is almost looking like the 2 a.m. last call at the European country bar with France and Spain shutting that joint down. Things are not great.
So you're saying that internal divisions don't lead to awesome government performance?
Turns out not really.
Interesting.
Also, Scottish preacher John Knox had written a pretty famous essay back right before Elizabeth called The Monstrous Regiment of Women, which was mostly all about how women are terrible and they're the weaker vessel and why do we let them do anything. So Elizabeth's not going in with a lot.
Gotcha.
Also, remember, Elizabeth's mother is a condemned traitor.
Sure, Anne Boleyn.
99 problems.
Give it to the girl. She'll fix it.
I mean, she will fix it.
She does fix it.
I mean, I hate to throw you the denouement of this, but our Taylor Swift song at the end of this for Elizabeth is The Man. I can only imagine if she was the man, how different her world would have been. But let's just talk about a few more problems with our Bessie. Her entire Star Chamber cabinet wants her to get married from 1559 on.
Yeah.
And they are pushing every gross European bachelor from 7 to 70. The young ones, the gay ones, old, handsome, not handsome, poor, maybe has a title, maybe you've never heard of them. She's got 100 problems. It's a lot. Anyway, Elizabeth, huzzah, I'm queen. She's doing the thing. She's waited her whole life to actually stay alive, to do the queen thing, and she is determined to win this. Elizabeth and her court growing up has had a tremendous number of assists from her ladies-in-waiting, Cat Ashley. Cat Ashley's husband, a number of women who've kept her alive. Elizabeth has also been kept alive by Anne's former faction at court, including Matthew Parker, her chaplain. Annie B's faction has kept Elizabeth alive and safe and protected to get Elizabeth to this point. And Elizabeth, so much like her mom, so smart it's scary. Although her star chamber's running into some problems, because remember from the age of 8, Elizabeth, I will never marry. Ponyboy, been pining over Elizabeth all these years. But what has Elizabeth seen? Women lose power and their lives because of marriage and children. That's how they get ya. Elizabeth will take on a revolutionary status here and say she is married to England. England is her husband. England is her spouse. She really tries to degender herself in a number of ways, although she's still the Virgin Queen, so a little bit of a paradox. Elizabeth is coronated in January 1559. She stays at the Tower of London, remember, in the suite where her mom stayed and was being queen and then no longer being queen. And Elizabeth stayed back in her time at the Tower of
Imprisoned
London.
Imprisoned there, yeah. Fond memories, I'm sure.
Elizabeth, Lion of England, married to England and all that, that's great. But in order to rule successfully, Elizabeth is going to need some right-hand men. She's walking into her stepsister Mary's very Catholic court, and Elizabeth makes two quick essential changes when she becomes queen. First up, William Cecil. Oh, William. He's appointed Secretary of State. At this point, William Cecil has been around Elizabeth for a long time. He is her longest serving and most loyal companion and confidant. William Cecil, during Mary's administration, has actually played both sides. William Cecil was in Mary's and now he is in Elizabeth's, but he has always been loyal to Elizabeth. At this time, William Cecil is 38 years old. He is brilliant. He's very modest. He rides around on a donkey. That's Donkey Boy, Cecil.
Check out my ride.
We got a lot of rides in Tudor England. Let's talk about Pony Boy, because every queen needs a Pony Boy. And welcome, or hey, let's say hello again to Robert Dudley. Elizabeth appoints Robert Dudley, her BFF from childhood, Master of the Horse. What does Master of the Horse do? It's actually Master of the Horse and Hounds. Robert is set up to take care of anything Elizabeth could want. Her safety, her desire, her pleasure. He's in charge of the horses and hounds for hunts. This is all about fun, fun, fun till her daddy takes her thoroughbred away, right? Robert and Elizabeth, constant friends since childhood, imprisoned at the Tower together. Ooh, 1, 2, 3. Let's go, Bess. Is it delicate, right? Here comes Robert. It's a good gig. He is the queen's favorite. But Elizabeth's court is kind of mad about it. Because if we remember, Robert Dudley, the new puppy and pony boy, is a son of a traitor.
Right. A lot of that going around, though, at this point.
Oh, yeah. But Robert, like Elizabeth, was persecuted, and Elizabeth's been persecuted, and what better to bring these two together, her dark, handsome Robert Dudley, at her side now, at for all time, just to bring her pleasure. Turns out that Elizabeth and Robert are spending a lot of time together.
Hmm.
His apartments at court are really close to, like, adjoining hers.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. By the end of April 1559, every tongue at court is wagging. Robert never leaves Elizabeth's side. So let's go from our Taylor Swift delicate to our Taylor Swift lavender haze. Oh, meet me at midnight. Yeah, Robert. in this particular bridge, I've been under scrutiny. You handle it beautifully. All this ish is new to me. I feel the lavender haze creeping up on me. Surreal. I'm damned if I do give a damn what people say. No deal. 1950s stuff they want from me. I just want to stay in that lavender haze. Elizabeth just wants to be in love. Elizabeth knows she's never going to marry Dudley. He's the son of a traitor. She can't get married anyway.
He's also married.
Oh, yeah. Let's get to that minor complication.
Details, but yeah.
Small inconvenient detail. But they're lavender haze. Adjoining rooms, totally in love, but poor Lady Amy, Rob Sart. Maybe Robert Dudley's new position at court is causing a little problem for Lady Amy. Here's the thing, though. Elizabeth does not like women at court. Wives of her court are not really welcomed. She has her own ladies, the ones she trusts and the ones she likes, but her ladies get in because they've been in her faction for a long time. Lady Amy, as well as any other wife of any other courtier she has, is not exactly welcome at court. The attention needs to be on Elizabeth. Other women turn that away. Robert Dudley is going to set himself up at Kew Palace in the Kew Gardens, super close to Richmond Palace, where Elizabeth is spending much of her time in 1559. Even when Robert sets himself up in a new place, Amy can't even be there, because Elizabeth will just come round and surprise him. I'm here for tea. Better not see any other girls around here, because you're mine, puppy boy.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we are going to come back to the complication. Oh, that pesky marriage already with Lady Amy.
We'll be back in a moment.
Oh, there is so much happening in 1559. It is a big, big year. So Robert, set up at Kew Palace, will go visit Amy in Easter of 1559. Amy will come to London in May of 1559. In June of 59, the Spanish ambassador writes that Amy's health has improved, but she was being very careful with her food. Now, number one, never tell the Spanish ambassador anything.
This is Chapuis?
No, Chapuis long dead. New Spanish ambassador, but...
Okay.
New guy, same as the old guy, essentially. After this months-long visit that ends June of 1559, Robert Dudley and his wife Amy never see each other again.
So she has been ill. She is being cautious about what she eats. And she heads out of London, never to be heard from again.
Correct. So let's go ahead and just talk about Lady Amy for a moment. She and Robert, again, married early on, looked like a true love match. Amy's family, the largesse of her mother and father, has kept Robert Dudley alive to this point. Her family is the one that gets him out of the tower. When he gets out of the tower, they have lands to go to and some wealth and some money. Like, Amy's done nothing but help Robert her whole entire married life. Poor Amy. Her Taylor Swift song is Tolerate It. Think about Amy, and I want to go ahead and just set this in. I wait by the door like I'm just a kid. Use my best colors for your portrait. Lay the table with the fancy stuff and watch you tolerate it. If it's all in my head, tell me now. Tell me I've got it wrong somehow. I know my love should be celebrated, but you tolerate it. Listen to this. I greet you with a battle hero's welcome. I take your indiscretions all in good fun. Poor Lady Amy. She knows what's going on. She's getting news from the women around. Like, it's not like any of this is a big secret. But get to the bridge here. While you were out building other worlds, where was I? Where's that man who'd throw blankets over my barbed wire? I made you my temple, my mural, my sky. Now I'm begging for footnotes in the story of your life. Drawing hearts in the byline, always taking up too much space or time. You assume I'm fine, but what would you do if I break free and leave us in ruins? took this dagger in me and removed it. Gain the weight of you and then lose it. Believe me, I could do it. Which makes her mysterious death, da-da-da-da, coming up in just a moment, even more curious. Robert and Amy do not see each other again after June 1559. In December 1559, Amy is going to move into Cumnor. This home is an altered 14th century monastic complex. It is rented by a friend of Robert Dudley's. Some of his relations are there. A lot of people are living in Cumnor Place at this time. It's pretty big. Lady Amy has the very best room in the house. It's an upper story apartment with a separate entrance and a staircase leading up to it. Amy's apartments are also connected internally into the home. Now, Lady Amy has moved around a lot with Dudley at court. Robert, will send Lady Amy gifts as she travels around and stays with her friends. Lady Amy's never in want of material things. Her needs are provided for, at least material needs. Not her heart needs, though. Poor Lady Amy. Amy and Robert have had no kids. There's no evidence that Lady Amy was ever pregnant. Lady Amy has spent her whole life looking after lands and farms. And certainly throughout the next 8 months at Cumnor Place, she is going to hear more and more about Elizabeth and her husband. Cumnor Place. It's a small medieval house. It's made out of gray stone. It was part of a religious foundation. It used to be a summer retreat for abbots. It was used as an occasional sanatorium for monks who had lost the script. It is a quadrangular building. It's built around a courtyard. At the time, it was in a pretty good state of repair. Amy has servants and a personal maid with her. She also has a companion. This companion is the widowed sister of William Hyde. Her name is Mrs. Oddingsells. Mrs. Oddingsells used to host Lady Amy at Denchworth. Women travel around. You're not in the court. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth isn't letting you in, so y'all are kind of setting up peripherally.
Sure. Yeah, just traveling to see friends and relations.
The thing about Cumnor Place, I need you to know, the place has all kinds of people living in it. There are 3 or 4 or 5 separate families all living in this former summer retreat for the monks. Lots of apartments and rooms that are all separated, but they are all connected within the inner courtyards. Everybody can get anywhere. End of 1559. Lady Amy is at Cumnor Place. Elizabeth in London is still courting. I'm going to go ahead and put that in some quotation marks, international suitors. Because all Elizabeth is doing is really playing the game. She is dangling the hope for these gentlemen callers, but we all know that Elizabeth is never going to compromise her freedom. Again, that's how they get you. But William Cecil, her right-hand man, is putting a lot of pressure on Elizabeth. Like, could you just pick one? We need you to get married. We need you to have an heir. Go back to Lavender Haze. All they keep asking me is if I'm going to be your bride. The only kind of girl they see is a one night or a wife. We haven't had an example of a queen doing anything great yet. Remember, let's go back at our Trashy Royals journey. We had Matilda, the queen in everything but name. We've had a few other power players come in to try. Mary the First, Bloody Mary, is the first one that did it, and it was 5 years of a train wreck.
Yeah.
What is Elizabeth walking into? Cecil, because he's never seen a woman rule successfully, and remember, monstrous regimen of women and all the religious strife, Cecil is like, Elizabeth, please just pick one. If not these dudes, maybe how about these other dudes? There's another 30-page listing given to her with all the options. Cecil is flinging any eligible bachelor against the wall because there is no way, 0, 0, 0, any way that you can marry Robert Dudley. A, he's married, but B, he's the son of a son of a traitor, and there is no way that Robert Dudley is fit to be king. He is a threat. Elizabeth, please spend your time and attention anywhere but Robert Dudley. It's not just Cecil. It's the whole court, too. Mm-hmm. This hot gossip in 1559, late 1559, leading us into 1560. By the beginning of 1560, the supposed affair of Elizabeth and Robert Dudley is a national scandal. In March of 1560, the Spanish ambassador will write to Philip II. What is in that report? Robert Dudley has said that if he lived another year, he will be in a very different position. Maybe he's thinking of divorcing his wife. Rumors abound with all kinds of salacious nonsense. Rumors. Robert Dudley is actually actively sending his wife poison so he can be rid of her. Elizabeth is pushing William Cecil off, playing this hold all of the suitors at bay game long enough for Amy to bite it. The nobility is holding it against Dudley that Elizabeth is not getting married. And naturally, all during this time, a number of plots, albeit unsuccessful, are cropping up to assassinate Robert Dudley.
Wow.
It's danger at every end.
Game of Thrones.
It is Game of Thrones. And the court is literally freaking out and ready to stage a coup. But they all on some level, what is this, the Dunning-Kruger effect, right? They all on some level are like, well, certainly nothing can happen because Robert's married. He has a pretty wife, Lady Amy. They've been married a long time. But then all the rumors come in from Cumnor that Lady Amy is sick and she's just laying around waiting to die. Robert's just waiting for her to die. Rumors persist there's an illness in her breast. So whether it's cancer or poison or maybe a divorce, it doesn't matter. It's just look at all these rumors. And poor Cecil is pulling his hair out with Elizabeth like, your reputation is in danger. Can you just pick anybody from anywhere and get yourself out of this like hot pot of gossip that you are stewing in, girl? This is not a great way to start your administration.
Keep mansplaining it, Bill. Keep mansplaining it.
You're not kidding. Is Elizabeth interested in any of this?
Mm-mm.
Absolutely not. She is in lavender haze with Puppy Boy. Elizabeth really begins in earnest through the winter and spring of 1560 just to tell Cecil, bug off, man, pound sand. She will send Cecil a way to work out negotiation with Mary of Guise to recognize Elizabeth as queen. Elizabeth gets Cecil out of the country. That's how much I do not need you in my springtime of pleasure with my puppy boy. To be fair, Cecil does avert a war here, which is good. He does get exactly what Elizabeth sent Cecil for, but Cecil's out of the country for a few months. And Elizabeth's letters to Cecil and all this negotiation over the months get icier and icier. Cecil, you can really do more. Why don't you extend your stay for a little while longer and see what else you can get? Because while Cecil's away, the proverbial mouse, this time Lizzie, is going to play. We're going to take another quick break, and then we're going to hear about the summer of 1560.
See you on the flip.
Oh, little mouse Bessie. She's having a good time. Cecil's gone. There's no one to monitor her anymore. And having achieved that particular coup, Elizabeth I will spend the summer of 1560 in a lavender haze, pleasure with a capital P. Elizabeth at this point is like, I'm going to abandon all of my actual duties and just hang out with my lover, Robert Dudley, all day.
Seems good.
It's good for her.
Yeah.
They hide themselves away for days on end. They have a glorious summer, but her court is falling apart over this. Her servants are just leaving trays outside of their door.
I like how discreet they're being.
Not even. But again, their childhood best friends. Maybe they're just braiding each other's hair.
Could be.
And talking about, like, running away and being pirates together.
Deep, intense prayer. Could be.
Trey's outside the door. Lavender haze. Okay.
You don't want to interrupt prayer time.
Probably prayer is what's happening. So, again, add on to this all the rumors of poisoning and illness and divorce. And, whoa, by the end of July, old Cecil gets back. And he is like, what is going on around here? Elizabeth is still being really kind of ice baby to Cecil. And has also encouraged Robert during the time Cecil's been away for Robert to cuddle up, snuggle up with Cecil's biggest rival at court. So kind of planting some factions in here. William Cecil, when he gets back, he realizes that things are not the same as they used to be with Elizabeth and I. He's known Elizabeth since birth, right? Like, whoa. And they've always been close, and he's always been her right-hand man, and now things are not the same. She has not one iota of thanks or gratitude for Cecil doing all the work he has done and will continue to do. And when he gets back, Elizabeth tells Cecil, hey, remember all those months that you just spent out of England on that whole peacekeeping mission? Well, I'm not going to reimburse you for your expenses.
Wow.
You're going to need to pay for that on your own. And he will only get these messages from Elizabeth. She's not even talking to him face to face. She'll just send him a letter. And when he comes to be like, hey, Elizabeth, I need to talk to you, the door is locked. Or Elizabeth is out riding with Ponyboy. So one night in the summer, a torchbearer comes back to the Privy Council with a report that Elizabeth is coming back from a late night visit at Kew Palace. And Dudley, oh, isn't he so dreamy? I'm going to raise him up and give him further honors. Maybe a dukedom. Maybe I'll marry him. Whatever is going on is going to go on. And the council hears about this and they hit the roof, right? Because they have spies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Elizabeth has her spy master, Walsingham, but they're also spying on her. Now her privy council is like, holy cats, how far is this thing gone? You are going to ruin your reputation. How do we even compete on a foreign scale with this? But it appears that Elizabeth is pretty determined. There's talk of a palace coup. People are finding themselves in prison. Summer 1560. Right now, William Cecil is kind of like Eeyore. He is pretty depressed. He is ready to resign. At this point, he's like, she's not even been on the throne a year and a half. Like, this is ridiculous. I can't even believe I kept this child alive. The writing is on the wall. Let me and my donkey make some plans. My career is over. William Cecil's career is so much over, he writes his buddy Throckmorton in France. Like, hey, buddy, you can come on back home. I'm not going to be around for long. Let's set up a place and we'll just ride this out together because we're done. August the 30th, the court moves to Windsor Castle. At this point, William Cecil is big mad, and he is telling everyone he can talk to, from the front of the room to the back of the room at court, that he quits. He's done. He'll say it is a bad sailor that does not see a storm coming and make safe harbor. He is so desperately unhappy about the unsuitability of Robert Dudley and their affair, and maybe possibly a you've lost your mind, Elizabeth. I'm going to take my donkey and go find a quieter life away from court. I'm going to ride into the sunset. It is on September 7th, 1560, that there's a big, huge party at Windsor, because the next day, September 8th, is Elizabeth's 28th birthday. It is party time. Ponyboy's there. They're going to have a birthday weekend. It is also on September 7th, that Elizabeth tells the Spanish ambassador that Lady Amy is dead. Lady Amy is not dead yet.
Oh. Oh. Oh.
Elizabeth tells the Spanish ambassador, hey, I got some hot news for you. Lady Amy has died, but I need you to keep that on the DL. It's a big secret. Again, never tell the Spanish ambassador anything. Oddly enough, it turns out that next day, September 8th, 1560, that Lady Amy is in fact found dead at the bottom of a staircase in Cumnor Place at the age of 28, died of a broken neck.
Mysterious. Did they find any owls near Cumnor Place? Is it a big owl nesting area?
The original staircase murder. Well, maybe murder. I don't know. How did Lady Amy die? Was it just an accident? She fell down the stairs? Was Lady Amy, in fact, ill? Was Lady Amy...
Thrown?
Was it suicide? Was it murder? Was it an accident? Holy cats. So many mysteries.
I mean, do we know Donkey Guy's whereabouts on the night of...
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Because Cecil's out.
Is he traveling?
Cecil's done with court. He has told everybody he is quitting.
Packed up his donkey and left.
Ridden off into the sunset. Amy Dudley, September 8th, is found lying at the bottom of a staircase in Cumnor Hall under, written in capital letters, very unusual circumstances. From the court records and all the inquests that happened after, let's go through how September 8th went down for Amy. According to the records, Amy rose very early that morning and commanded everybody in her household to leave. Her staff, Mrs. Ottingsell, all of her attendants, all mad. They're really angry about it. They say, I judge her to be a woman of very strange mind. Her staff, her companions, do not want to leave. But Amy forces them all to go.
Okay, so she was acting unusually is correct. How that would...
Amy says there's a country fair happening down the way in that next village. She wouldn't like a day off. I need you all to GTFO. Her staff is gone. So, maybe Lady Amy suffering from cancer, being poisoned, feeling very terrible, does decide to end her life by suicide. Hey, I could take this dagger out of me and remove it. What better way to leave Robert Dudley utterly screwed than with a mysterious dead wife? Let me tie your hands forever with Elizabeth. Perhaps suicide. Maybe it's an accident. Lady Amy was just carrying some laundry, you know, up and down the stairs, and it was a misstep, and she just fell and had a broken neck.
Could be.
Maybe all the poison she's been ingesting somehow takes its toll.
Are we certain that poisoning was happening?
No.
Okay.
I mean, so there are rumors that
sure.
She is feeling ill and she is getting sick. But also, Lady Amy the week before has ordered a brand new dress from a custom dressmaker, given him comments about the last dresses she's ordered. I want you to use this style for this. Here's my new fabric. Like, Lady Amy's not making any end-of-life plans. Mm-hmm. She's planning her new frock
right.
for the wintertime. So suicide, accident, poisoning, maybe it's murder. If it is murder, who could have done it? Who would have the motive to murder Lady Amy Robsart? Perhaps Robert Dudley. Perhaps William Cecil.
And what would Cecil's motives be? To get back on Elizabeth's good side?
There are a few reasons. So let's go through the details and see how it shakes out through the next year. Because there's an investigation that takes a very, very long time. So maybe an accident. Maybe Amy falls and there's nothing more nefarious than that. Bad slip and fall. But here's the thing. Most of the time in Tudor homes, you never have more than six stairs in a row before it changes directions. Like those grand sweeping staircases that you see with 40 stairs.
Not a thing.
That doesn't happen. And they build stairs 5 or 6 in a row in order to catch your fall.
Sure.
Like there.
And then there's a landing and yeah.
Exactly. Cumnor Place, when you look at its original plans, has these staircases inside, built just like that. There's five stairs, there's a landing, we change direction. Here's another five stairs, here's a landing. They're meant to be an assist. Nobody really dies on stairs in Tudor England.
Except
Lady Amy. So again, maybe it's suicide. Could she have been suffering from breast cancer? She wakes up, she tells her entire house to leave. She prays to be delivered of her desperation. But again, she's writing a letter to her dressmaker the week before, unless she's planning a dress for her own funeral. I got nothing. A particular scholar, Skidmore, does reject the theory that Amy commits suicide, but speculates that she fell from a short flight of stairs. And maybe because of the high levels of calcium in her blood, if she did have cancer, causes that fall to be more damaging than it would be. Skidmore even considers the possibility that Amy's servants, without Robert's knowledge, maybe poison her. Maybe her servants even break her neck. Skidmore goes through all of Dudley's correspondence, the coroner's report on Amy, all the ambassador's dispatches. Okay, the end of this is that really is a mystery we're never going to know. But what happens with Robert Dudley? He's hanging out on Elizabeth's 28th birthday party weekend out at Windsor. And, whoa, he gets the news that your wife is dead at the bottom of a staircase. And Robert Dudley is freaking out. He immediately writes his steward, Thomas Blount, who was already on his way to Cumnor Place. What is Thomas Blount supposed to do? Open an inquest, which is already happening by the time Thomas gets there. At this point, Elizabeth banishes Robert Dudley from court. Robert, you got to get out of here. This is way too hot.
Too much scandal, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Robert will call this his case. And the end result is this is found to be an accidental death. It was misfiled. And it just turned up, actually, recently, hundreds and hundreds of years later, that the end of the day, this is accidental death. Whoops. No harm, no foul. And Robert's happy about the accident part of it, but he wants maybe it to be looked into a little more, because now he's exiled from court. He is in no way ever going to be suitable for Elizabeth, but if you look at the coroner's report that's made on Amy that was misfiled, there are dents, D-I-G-N-T-S, in her head.
It's the owl. It's the owl.
Stick a quarter of your thumb in the depth of two thumbs. So she's not just died of a broken neck. She has open head wounds.
Yeah, she may have been struck with something.
The jurors on the case, because that's how they rule, will say, that's some misfortune. Too bad you hit your head on the stair. But it's so weird. The coroner's verdict was pronounced in August of 1561, a full year later. And that's really unusual. Normally it happens pretty quickly, just like a week or two after your death. Amy's case is drawn out for almost a year. It does not appear until 2008 when it is discovered, because it, again, filed under the wrong year in the National Archives. Robert Dudley does everything he can do to honor his late wife. She is buried at St. Mary's with much pomp and circumstance. The funeral for Amy will cost Robert Dudley £2,000 in 2017 dollars. The best we can do here. This is almost £500,000 for her funeral. Robert will not attend her funeral, but it is not custom for husbands to do so. Robert retires to Kew. He mourns for 6 months. I'm going to call that really Robert Dudley is banished. He's not allowed back at court. Too hot. William Cecil. Let's go back and answer your question about him. He is telling the Spanish ambassador, William Cecil is, that Elizabeth and Robert Dudley were about to do away with Amy. They were going to kill her by poison. She wasn't sick at all. Nicholas Throckmorton, who was serving as the English ambassador in France, Cecil wrote, Throckmorton's now back, and they're going to ally up. And Cecil and Throckmorton get together and create so much gossip that it's not just spread in England, it's spread within the French court as well. Neither William Cecil nor Nicholas Throckmorton believed that Robert murdered Amy. But they're not letting on to that. They continue to ride those rumors. Oh, because guess what? Remember Cecil who rode off on his donkey?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as Amy's dead, he comes right on back. There's actually no need to spend his retirement in the county riding mules.
Hmm.
In October, Robert Dudley returns to court. After a year. Like, it's a long, long time. And Elizabeth still loves Robert as much as ever. And Robert's like, okay, I've paid my dues. Let's get it on. But at this point, Elizabeth has completely changed her tune. She is imperiled by this scandal. It was one thing to lock ourselves up in the rooms and kind of keep it undercover. But now that your wife is dead, accidentally, whatever, still mysterious circumstances, this is my reputation. Elizabeth will indicate to Robert, like, something funny happened with your wife, and the accidental thing isn't really flying with me. I know other things that haven't been reported, and Elizabeth finally getting to her crown is not going to take the risk. She returns to her childhood vow of, I shall never marry, no matter what she said in the summer of 1560 that started the whole problem in the first place. Robert Dudley knows his reputation is done. He laments that this ever happened. But if you're William Cecil, it's a perfect setup, right? The suspicion of how are you attached to your wife's mysterious death murder, Robert?
Yeah, he's never going to shake that.
Never. Never, never, never. All of Robert's letters at this time, he has nothing to do with it. All of his letters at this time talk about how he is in shock and bewildered and unprepared. If he's acting like he doesn't, like, it's, I listen to emergency 911 calls. Dude's not acting. I think he's just as shocked as anybody else. But of course, court scandal and rumor and all the gossip, people are like, God, Robert, you wouldn't even be dumb enough to try to kill Amy when you just escaped with your life from the tower those years ago. Like, none of this makes any sense for you to do. But I think it makes a lot of sense for William Cecil to do it. Who else would have enough clout besides Robert for Amy to clear out her staff? Maybe Cecil riding around on his donkey sends Amy a letter. Hey, I must speak to you about something necessary about your husband. And it's an important thing. And Amy clears the house. And maybe Cecil shows up or one of his henchmen, because Cecil does have henchmen. And there's no more Lady Amy.
Seems like motive. It gets his biggest headache out of the way. Ruins that relationship for good.
It's all shady.
Mm-hmm.
My money's on Cecil. I don't know how y'all feel. I don't know what you think, which way it could have gone. It's the eternal mystery. It'll never be solved. But
it was the owl.
My money is on Cecil. He has the motive. He has the means. He has the opportunity. Cecil has the most to lose at court, save Robert Dudley. And if you can set Robert Dudley up at the same time for an assault on reputation and slander, holy cats, you're two birds, one stone. It's calculated, it's cruel, but have you met William Cecil? At that point, Elizabeth still loves Robert. She's going to make him Earl of Leicester. She will continue to promote him. They will still do their thing, not immediately afterward, but through the years. Elizabeth and Robert never really leave each other. Robert will finally break down, because he doesn't stop trying with Elizabeth even after all this, but 18 years later, he finally will marry Lettice Knowles, who is a cousin of Elizabeth's. We'll talk about her one day. Robert Dudley lives until 1588. And when he passes away in 1588, our fair queen is devastated. She keeps his last letter in a treasure box by her bedside for the rest of her life. And we can run away and be pirates, and then you won't have to cry. She's grief-stricken. Do you want to hear the last letter that Robert wrote Elizabeth?
Sure.
I most humbly beseech your majesty to pardon your poor old servant to be this bold in sending to know how my gracious lady doth and what ease of her late pain she finds, being the chiefest thing in the world I do pray for, and for to have good health and long life, for none my poor case. I continue still your medicine, and find it amended much better than with any other thing than hath been given me, thus hoping to find perfect cure at the bath, with a countenance of my wonted prayer, for your majesty's most happy preservation. I humbly kiss your foot, from your old lodging at Rycote, this Thursday morning, ready to take my journey. By your most faithful and obedient servant, R. Leicester. There is a postscript which is sweet. Even as I had written thus much, I received your majesty's token by young Tracy. She's still sending him gifts. They never, ever, ever stop loving each other. But they will never, never, never marry. And Elizabeth is the man. Long, successful reign at court. 1558 to what? 1603?
1603.
Yeah. Elizabeth, queen. Don't mess with her. There's so much more to Elizabeth's story.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And all of that, but I really wanted to cover the tragedy of the love story of Robert Dudley and Queen Elizabeth while we were here.
Sure.
God, that story.
No, it's the original staircase murder.
It is the original staircase murder. My money's on Cecil.
Uh-huh.
Y'all tell me who you think it is. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. One and all for tuning in to this episode of Trashy Royals. We're going to be back next week for something.
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 We'll figure it out.
It's always trashy.
Sure.
It's always royals around here.
That's what everyone says.
Don't forget, if you like what we do, you can always check out Trashy Divorces. We release there on Sundays and Wednesdays. And I've got Done and Done happening on Monday. Always something to listen to from the Trashy headquarters. We cannot thank you enough for spending your time with us, for telling your friends about what we do, your kind reviews and emails. Until we meet again next week.
Polish up that crown.
Stay away from William Cecil.
Yeah, that too.
And don't get on the stairs if you're the wife of the lover of the queen. Yikes.
Practice owl safety.
Keep your eye on the throne, darlings. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.